Joining us on the line now is John Winter to talk about his adventures travelling on a double-decker bus with 10 comparative strangers. They took the bus 40,000 miles around the Americas, selling British goods along the way. Some of the group have recently reunited 50 years later at the release of John's book, Bus to Bust. Welcome to the show, John.
Thank you very much, Hannah.
Oh, it's great to have you with us. And what an amazing story this is. I found it like a week ago, and I read out the story on my good news story slot, and I thought, oh, it'd be great to get John on the show, and here you are.
Yeah, it's great. I'm glad you chose Bus Stop rather than one of the Cliff Richard summer holiday ones.
Yes.
Because people seem to think that we were copying Cliff Richard's film, but that was never the intention, and it was far from that anyway.
Yeah. So tell us how this idea came about and what the thought behind it was then.
Well, it was Bernice and Roger Poole's idea initially. They wanted to go around the world, and they thought, what better way, cheap way really, than to get their own bus and some companions and work their way around. This was in Bristol, of course. But the problem was that Roger chose a bus that was 14 foot 6 inches tall, which was a foot higher than North American laws would permit. So that's what we found all the way around.
So you were constantly being stopped.
It turned out that we're all strangers, as you said.
So how did you find out about it then, if you were all strangers? How did you know?
Well, I was a journalist on Bristol Evening Post, and they sent me to cover the story, and I suppose I stayed. So I thought what a good idea it was, and so I joined the group. Obviously they chat to you and see if you're going to be okay. The idea was to have lots of different people doing different jobs. So we had four mechanics, four drivers, a nurse, myself, to do publicity, which get in touch with newspapers and TV, etc., to earn money, really, because then we got jobs. And a chef, Mike Conway, who I think actually is listening now, which is nice, although he's in Bristol. He's an avid listener to your channel.
Oh, wonderful.
So that's good. And, so we were all compatible in the sense that we all had different jobs, and we knew what jobs we were going to get.
Yeah, so you worked well as a team then.
Yeah, we did, yeah.
So in terms of the route, did you... why America, first of all?
I think the idea was that we chose America because we thought that was the best way to earn money in the fruit fields, which it turned out to be correct. So the first idea actually was to go to the World Cup in Mexico City. So we hurtled down to the World Cup. We shipped the bus to Montreal from Bristol and then hurtled down to the World Cup, which took us 49 days.
Oh, goodness.
I made a note of this. Travelling at about 50 miles an hour, when nowadays you can do it in 44 hours by fast car. So it was a long, arduous journey, but not many stops. But anyway, we made it just after England were knocked out.
Oh, no.
Which was rather sad.
And you got mobbed. The bus was mobbed by fans.
Yeah, we stayed on in Mexico City to sense the atmosphere, really. It was great. And it was a lovely city as well, very friendly. But we decided probably wrongly to leave. We wanted to go back to California and earn more money in the fruit fields. So we decided to leave the day the World Cup ended. So soon after the final, we were stuck in the middle of a traffic jam in the middle of Mexico City, besieged by fans, many of whom were really friendly, but then turned a bit, they got a bit excited and started blocking the bus. And Dave, our driver at the time, kept moving it back and forward so they couldn't get a grip. And eventually they moved off and we carried on and wended our way up to California.
So you must have met some really interesting people along the way, did you?
Oh, yeah, it was marvellous. We were like a magnet, really, because nobody'd seen a double-decker bus like that. And everywhere we went, it caused a lot of interest. We met three of the England football team in Mexico City after the matches.
Oh.
I suppose the most famous was Ronald Reagan, because when we were in California, we were arrested because the bus was stopped from travelling on the roads because they suddenly realised that everywhere we went, we were hitting bridges, bringing down telephone lines because we were too big.
Oh, no.
So, but I got in touch with newspapers. We contacted a few senators and politicians, and eventually word got up to Ronald Reagan as well. And eventually the Highway Patrol were ordered to give us every assistance instead of stopping us moving on the roads. And so we were carried on. We met Ronald Reagan, shook his hand, and and then carried on. It was excellent.
Fabulous. And how about the naming of the bus? It was called Sir George White Special.
Yeah, that was named after a pioneer of aviation and transport in Bristol. We had in the Bristol Evening Post, we had a competition to see if anybody wanted to name the bus. And we had lots of names, but the one that seemed most apt was Sir George White, after the aviation pioneer. And we were lucky enough to get his grandson to come and christen it with a traditional way, with a bottle of... No, I think it was... What did we use?
Bottle of cider.
Yeah, that's all right. Bristol Somerset cider, that's what we use. So, yeah, that went well as well.
Oh, fabulous. And so presumably you all slept on the bus, did you?
Yeah, the bus was actually designed for 60 people. It carried 60 people around Bristol and Bath for 14 years before we got it. So it'd done over 750,000 miles. But we stripped it down, took all the seats out, put beds in, kitchen, toilet on the back, platform, in fact, which... Unfortunately, it was in full view of the back door. And on one occasion, I was sitting on the toilet going down a motorway, and both doors, my toilet door and the back door, slid open. And there I was sitting on the white throne in front of all these people in their cars.
Oh, no.
We did have all the beds.
Who would have been more embarrassed, John, you or the other drivers, do you think?
Well, I don't think there were any crashes. I put a lock on it after that.
Yeah, I bet. And tell us how this epic journey ended. It was a bit of a disaster, wasn't it, in the end?
Yeah, it was. Now, I wasn't actually... We had a few tensions on the way round because of various... I mean, when you've got 11 strangers living together, it's not that easy, and we worked well together, and we pooled all our money, so we had no personal money. So there were lots of difficulties, and one by one, lots of people left. I left in Florida. The bus went on down Mexico City, down through Central America, Colombia, and all the way down to Peru. By the time I got to Peru, there was only six members of the crew. And I think two of those left soon after. So there were four left by then. And the problem was we got to a river, the river China, and there was no way over it because the bridge we tried to get over was too low and we got stuck. And there was no ferries that would take the bus. So eventually decision was made after they'd been marooned for three, four months to try put on a raft, and the raft was in the river, of course, and the bus was managed to get on the raft, and then loads of local people were in the water pushing and pulling the raft, but it hit a sandbank and tipped, and the bus slid ever so gracefully off into the water, and was by then up to the top windows in the river. And the only way they could get out was by putting steel hawsers on it, pulling it out with the hawsers, and it ripped it to pieces.
Oh,
so there was just a wreck remaining, really.
That must have been heartbreaking to watch.
Yeah. I mean, the original idea had been to go around the world, and they were still intent to do that, the four who were left. But, of course, that was where their dream ended.
Yeah. Oh, very sad. So did you all keep in touch over the years?
Yeah, we've sort of kept in touch with the ones that we got on well with. We've had sort of joint reunions about three times. This, I think, maybe was the third or fourth in Bristol, which was really good. There was seven of us at that. Unfortunately, three have died, and one's in Australia. Two, we don't know what happened to them. So the rest of us, we all got together then. But and it was lovely to see everybody. And I'm sure we will keep in touch. And it was great to be able to show a film to local people and talk about our bus adventure to the local people, many of whom remembered us departing all those years
ago.
Oh, wow,
that's amazing. How wonderful that people remember.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah, it was quite incredible. There was one chap who helped load the bus onto the ship to take it from Bristol to Montreal. He was actually there as well. And I think there was a couple of conductors who used to be on the old buses. It was amazing.
Fabulous. So I bet it's been great fun reminiscing and going through all of these memories to put the book together, has it?
Oh, it was great. It was great because I took notes all the way around, as some others did, diaries. And when I got back, and I got back in 1970, Christmas 1971, so I'd been away about 20 months. The others got back a bit later, or most of them. But I started to put the book together then, and gradually over the years added bits and then tried to get it published. Couldn't get it published until Peter Gibbs from Bristol stepped forward and helped me publish it with the assistance of all my colleagues who sent their diary extras and excerpts and all their pictures. So we managed to get the book together. So it was great to see it 50 years after we got back. There it is in print. It was lovely.
Oh, amazing. Well done. Well, if people want to read the book, it's available on our website, tre.radio. It's called Bus to Bust, and it's by John Winter, who we've been chatting with today. John, thank you so much for joining us. Lovely to chat with you.
Thank you very much for having me.
And I'll say hello to Mike Conway as well, if he's listening.
I'm sure he is.
Thanks so much, John. You take care.
Thank you, and you. Bye-bye.